Hello, hello, and welcome to our message this evening. If anybody has opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand that this is a live teleconference meeting, which means there are people who will be dialing in from around the country. So we'll begin the message in about 3 to 5 minutes. To give them a chance to get here. If you'd like to join Freedom of Way on any of these teleconference meetings, our messages are presented every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code 373-363. You can also go online to freedomswayministries.com for more information about us. Hallelujah. So if you would like to say hello tonight. Now is a good chance to do that. Also, I'd like for someone to tell me that I'm being heard because I have very little signal in this place where we are. I know you're out there. Can you hear me? Please respond. Yeah, I think so, although I've asked my dingers to tell me if they're coming home. Hello, hello.
Hi, Vicki, it's Gretchen.
Oh, good. You can hear me. Thank you for being
yes,
here.
Yes, I can hear
I'm here.
You. Oh, you're on a different phone. That's going to be good feedback.
I just wanted to see that, let you hear if you guys could hear you.
No, I think we'll be all right. So, thank you.
Okay.
Bill, I want to see if I can hear you if you're sitting there. Okay. Say hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
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 Amen.
Amen. This is Helen.
Someone else new? Okay, I have Gretchen and Judy and Helen have said hello. Anybody else want to say hello? We're giving people an opportunity to get here before we start. So, say hello, Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Can y'all hear him okay?
Yes, good.
Okay, great. So, we don't need to pass a phone back and forth because they can hear you and they can hear me, and the signal is coming through right here. If at any time we drop off the line because we're a little bit leery of our cell signal out here, just hang on. Because we will be back.
Okay.
Hallelujah. You want to bring me my sword there? Thank you. All right. Who else wants to say hello before I mute your phones? Are you ready? If not, I'm going to go ahead and mute your telephones and get us started. Oh, Father, we praise you and thank you for this time in your word. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing on the word tonight. Give us ears to hear it. Give us hearts to understand it. Show us how we can apply these Old Testament principles into our New Testament lives. Lord, we love you. We give you honor and glory this night and every day and night. I turn aside every assignment of hell that would seek to disrupt, corrupt, or otherwise defile what you want to accomplish. Increase your Holy Spirit presence, Lord, in our minds and in our hearts and in our homes as we listen and learn. In the name of Yeshua Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We are Bill and Vicki Burdett. This is Freedom's Way Ministries. We are the pastors of this little flock. We appreciate you being here. And our mission is to help God's people come out of their identity crisis and into their true identity in the Lord, so that we can rise to the level of our intended creation in the very image and likeness of God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To that end, we do these teachings. We also make ourselves available for personal ministry on the telephone or in person. And you will find the phone numbers and everything you need on our website, freedomswayministries.com, or you can call me at 904-993-2876. Hallelujah. So tonight we are still in the Old Testament principles for a New Testament life. And we're going to be looking tonight at the second part of 1 Kings chapter 17. So, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. We are back with the series, Old Testament Principles for a New Testament Life. Taking the stories and examples from Hebrew scriptures to help us identify and learn from the principles God set up to guide us successfully through life. As we explore some of these accounts, part of the goal is to discover how we can position ourselves to receive from God.
Amen.
And walk in the abundant blessings He pours out from heaven. Every word of God is true and relevant to us.
Amen.
Old Testament truth is still truth today. Old Testament precepts and statutes of God, His opinion, His direction, are still applicable to our lives today. Because we have a better covenant doesn't mean the covenants that have gone before no longer have any value.
That is so true.
The entire book is about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we should be able to open the book to any page and see Jesus, see the pattern of His life, see His heart for each of us, see His guidance and instruction through the examples of history, Jewish culture, and the lives of those who came before us. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen. And once again, another familiar scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine is teaching. Reproof is conviction. Correction means setting things aright. Instruction is training. And righteousness is virtue in character and in action, being like Jesus, who is our righteousness. So I hope you came with your listening ears on tonight, because we're going to finish 1 Kings chapter 17. Hope you're ready to take notes that you can later use as a foundation for study to gain even more insight. There are so many dimensions to God's Word. It's amazing. So I'd like to do a quick review of what we learned in the first part of this chapter, in case there are someone on the line that missed it, or if you didn't take great notes, you can add to them now. And then we'll start part two. So would you do that, babe?
Yeah, amen. Thanks. Background is this. The kingdom of Israel has been divided. Israel has had a string of kings who did evil in the sight of the Lord, beginning at the dividing of the kingdom with Jeroboam. Jeroboam made golden calves so the people could make sacrifices without going all the way to Jerusalem. If they were sitting in, I forgot what the word is.
They were sitting somewhere. It wasn't in Jerusalem.
I meant those calves were, what's the word where they use to get as a substitute for that? He also appointed ungodly priests and built high places, and he adorned a sacrificial feast of his own at a time convenient to him. After Jeroboam was Nadab, who engaged in the same evil action. He was killed by Baasha, also evil, followed by his son Elah, also evil, who was killed by Zimri. Zimri made himself king and reigned for 7 days. And in that short time killed all the descendants of Baasha and Elah.
That was busy.
Wow. Half the nation made Omri king and besieged the palace, at which time Zimri saw what was coming and killed himself. And the other people named Tibni king. So there was a battle, and Omri prevailed, and Tibni was killed. However, Omri was the worst ever, until his son Ahab took over, and evil increased again.
Wow.
So, honey, if you will, let's read the whole chapter again.
I will. But, yeah, you know, I got to make this comment, though. That, their last name was all the same. It was called Also Evil. They were all also evil. But chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get you hence, get away from this place. Turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith." That is, if you're not Hebrew, you say Cherith. If you are, you say Cherith or something, whatever. Cherith. I can't say it. Cherith.
Oh, Cherith.
Yeah, that. That is before Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fish in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, get you to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray you, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray you, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, As the Lord your God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, Fear not, go and do as you said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me after, make for you and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Guess we all know what that means. And she said to Elijah, What have I to do with you, O you man of God? Are you come to me to call my sin to remembrance? And to slay my son? And he said to her, Give me your son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought evil on the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray you, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, See, your son lives. What were you worried about? And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Hallelujah. Thank you for that word, Lord God.
Last time, we went through verse 16, and we learned a few really important things. First of all, we saw that Elijah declared himself to be in the office of priest of God as well as prophet of God. This is significant in that we too are priests unto God,
yeah,
standing in his presence, along with whatever else God has called us to do, and whatever other office we fill. When Peter to Ananias says, You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light.
Hallelujah. Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. That means that we are a priesthood of kings, and that we are kings and priests. That's amazing. Okay, next principle, we discovered biblical proof that even when you're doing things according to God's plan and direction, you do not get to escape the challenges and tribulations of life. Elijah prophesied a drought because of the rebellious actions of Israel, and yet he was subject to the drought. He had to live in it and suffer because of it, just like everybody else. John 16:33, Jesus speaks and he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Thank you, Lord.
And one of the most important principles we saw in this passage, in my mind, is the revelation that we have to position ourselves to receive from God. We have to be in the place of provision, enjoy provision. We can't be thinking we've got a better plan than God and going off on our own way.
Amen.
When God says go there, and there is the place of his blessing.
Amen.
Let me say that again. When God says go there, then there is the place of his blessing.
Amen. There's a place called there.
Revelation 12:6. And the woman fled, says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
That's right. You know, there is a place. When God says, go there, then that's where the blessing will be. There is different for each one of us, but it's still a place. Another important principle along this same vein is that when God tells us what to do, it might not always be pleasant. It may not always be something we want to do, but it is always beneficial. Elijah was nourished. Even though it was not likely his first choice in a meal. 1 Peter 2:19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief.
We also saw that God's directions don't always make sense.
Yeah, I think.
They are the opposite of the obvious. Widows at that time in society were the poorest of the poor. Elijah's mind was probably going tilt when God told him he'd be taken care of by a widow. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
Wow. Another important principle that was clearly demonstrated is that even at those times when life seems hopeless, God has something better in mind for us than we can imagine. And when we obey him, there is a great blessing in it. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
We saw that God loves us and provides for us, if even we aren't sure why or even how. Matthew 6:26 says, behold, fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather in the barn, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than
Amen. Hallelujah. Finally, we saw last week, it's important to wait on God. Pardon me, to allow Him to open the way for us. And then trust God and act boldly on what He says in order to accomplish His higher purpose. Most of the time, we don't see God's higher purpose. But if we wait on Him and obey Him, then we will be a part of that. Isaiah 22:22, also you'll see this in Revelation 3:7. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open.
Wow. Hearing this story of Elijah with the one about Elisha, we see the concept of grace being introduced two totally different ways. While Elisha spared Naaman's life by refusing the blessing, Elijah saved the woman's life by demanding one.
Wow.
There is no formula to accomplish God's higher purpose, and this applies even in the area of giving and receiving.
That's right.
There is only faith and obedience.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray, I obey.
I pray, I obey.
That was what Paul Young said, the pastor of the largest church in the world, in Korea, I believe, said. They asked him what his secret was. I pray, I obey. There is only faith and obedience.
Amen. And, well, there's got to be willingness, too.
Well,
and love, faith, love, obedience.
I think you're right, because obedience can be done out of duty and not out of love.
Right.
So that's a very good. So let's move on and discover what else we can learn. Let's open ourselves to the Holy Spirit conviction, set some things right in our lives, and gain a little more of the righteousness of Jesus. Here is this widow, who a few verses before was ready to eat her last meal and crawl off in a corner someplace to die. But then God sent the prophet to show her the grace of God. She and her son and Elijah have now eaten for many days from what she knew to be an empty barrel of meal and a dry cruse of oil. Suddenly, her son gets really weak, falls sick, and dies. What does she do? Something we do often. She blames God and his representative.
Yep. Oh, I see, she says. You're here to remind God of my sins and kill my son.
Right.
From this reaction, we can see a couple of things. First of all, the woman recognized that her own action, the way she lived her life, had a bearing on her child. You're here to remind God of my sins. This takes us back to the principle that proves our actions do not affect only ourselves. Next week, we're going to move into 2 Kings about the story of Elisha that we've been referring to, and we'll see how the leprosy of Naaman was removed from him, and it was put on Gehazi and his seed forever. So Gehazi's sin of rebellion and disobedience, of greed and covetousness, it had a very high price tag. It also tells us once again, there is a connection between sin and sickness.
Wow.
How do we let this truth slip away from the church? These people, way back in Elijah's time, knew the connection. The Pharisees knew the connection. The first church knew the connection, but somehow, generally speaking, today's church refuses to see it.
Another thing the widow's reaction does is to give us a picture of how we treat prophetic people. She had an eye of suspicion on Elijah, probably the whole time he was in her house. She may not really have wanted him there, but she might have been afraid she'd run out of food if he left. I don't really know. I would have to say it a little differently. But generally speaking, people do not like being around other people who can call them out on their stuff.
That's true. I'm sorry, there was a cat under the table.
that's on the podcast.
That is on the podcast now. Oh.
People don't like being around people who know more about them without being told than they know about themselves or others.
That's right.
It makes people very uncomfortable to have their sin exposed or even perceived, because then they're afraid it will be exposed. Somehow we think God doesn't know what we've done unless somebody tells him. And it's sure not going to be us.
Yeah. Oh.
So the widow accuses Elijah and says, it's all your fault.
Yeah, what have you done here, man? Okay, so next, we have the most vital principle, in my mind, in this passage. Elijah says, give me your son. The woman was clutching her son, holding on to him. And she was the one in authority, spiritually speaking, over her child. The father had died. She was on her own, raising the boy as best she could, and holding on to him. So many people put their identity in their children. They hold on to them. When Elijah asked her to give him up, that had to be a hard thing for her to do. All the mothers out there can relate. We don't want to let go. And consequently, we don't give the Lord a chance to work in their lives and to bring them into what he has for them. And this is especially true when we see death working in them, whether it's a physical death, a mental death, emotional, spiritual. You know, we see the death of their education going down the drain because of something that they're doing, or we see the death of their future because of the associations that they're making. Or when we see death working in them, we hold on. We hold on tighter. We want to fix it. We want to bring them truth. We want to change them and make them listen. Hallelujah. You listen to me. Listen to me. Is it true?
It's true. This woman's son died. There was no breath left in him, and yet she was holding on. Give me your son. Elijah had to have permission.
That's right.
He had to be given authority over the boy. Jesus did the same thing with the epileptic boy.
That's right.
The child's father had to turn over authority, even to Jesus, didn't they? Very important point.
Very important.
I believe. Help my unbelief. And when he said that, the man gave Jesus permission to cast out that demon that caused his son's seizure. So Elijah takes the boy upstairs. He goes to a higher place, a place where he dwells. Well, think about this for a minute. This chapter begins with Elijah declaring his position before the throne of God in his very presence. I stand before God with his confession. Now, if you're in a priestly office ministering to God in his presence, and that's your dwelling place, then it's easy to capture his ears, don't you think?
I think so.
If you're living in the presence of God, it's not hard to talk.
Amen.
He's right there. Yep. You're familiar with his voice. You've heard his mind on a matter of many things. You can ask him questions, and he answers them. Thank the Lord.
Thank you, God. So Elijah talks to God here in a way that indicates God really didn't take the boy's breath away. But notice this. He had a higher purpose in doing so. He did not intend to keep that boy's breath. Elijah extended himself and made his request. You know, if we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to learn to stretch. The Lord heard Elijah's prayer for life to be returned, and he returned it. The boy's breath was returned to him, and Elijah then returned the boy to his mother with a very matter-of-fact observation. See, your son lives. No big deal. What were you worried about? Why were you keeping him so close? Why were you holding on to him so hard? And then we see God's higher purpose. The woman's faith. Even though she had eaten many days by the miracle provision of God, she still didn't know his power. She still did not fully trust him. But when she let go of her son in the midst of death, and he was returned to her alive and well, then she knew she could trust God. Sometimes we have to trust God in our unbelief for our trust to be established in true belief. By this I know, she said. By this I know.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Some of us may look at that and think, well, why didn't she trust God already? He'd already proved himself by saving her life, giving her provision, and who knows what else. But don't we do the same thing?
Yep.
It's like no matter what God has done for us, we don't think he'll do anything now.
There's a doubt in there, you know?
No, that's doubt. Comes from fear, but then we get fearful if we get something coming in.
Yeah.
And the doubt gets fed and the faith, well, a little more starved. Right? What have you done for me lately, Lord? My question is this: how blessed do we have to be before we start acting like?
Oh, that's a good question.
And we need to just act like it, and we just need to stand in faith and say we're blessed. If we don't feel it, say we're blessed. And
blessed in my challenge.
Say to that mountain, you know, you have to speak it.
Amen.
And speak it and bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And it will come to pass. You just have to stand on the word of the Lord.
Let me just give a little testimony here about the working of miracles, because I am busily working a miracle in the life of a girl with cerebral palsy. And she's working it with me. And Phil will testify to this, because we were in the car when she called for her prayer. I pray with her every single day. And I said hello and called her name. And she spoke clearly enough for him to understand her. Now, has that ever happened before today?
It's physical impossibility.
At this point in her life, it is a physical impossibility. But she said hello. It didn't sound like hello, but you could tell it was hello.
Those are very clear words.
You are, yeah. And,
very clear words.
And she called my name. And
she says, I love you.
She says, I love you. She says,
thank you.
Okay. Amen. Lots of words that she is beginning to use.
She has a measure of faith.
Yes. She has a measure of faith. She has the measure of faith, and so do I. So we are praying together every day for her full recovery. And we're beginning to see it.
Nothing too hard.
All healing is a miracle.
Yeah.
Most of it is a process.
Right.
But we have to trust God in our unbelief.
Right.
For our trust to be established in true belief. Amen.
So here are our principles from the second part of this text. First, we again saw that our actions do not affect only ourselves. They affect the generations to follow, for good, for bad, or for good.
That's right.
Most of us on this line understand the generational curse aspect of this. So I like to use the generational blessing aspect as our scripture reference. And that you'll find in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, which says the following, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in you also.
Yes. That faith, I saw it in your grandmother, I saw it in your mother, and I'm persuaded it's in you. So there are generational blessings. Next, we saw yet another example of the understanding that sin and sickness are connected. In John 9:2, and his disciples ask him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? There is a connection.
And finally, we saw yet another very vital principle in the direct. Give me your son. God does not take our troubles, cares, and worries from us. We have to yield control to him and give them over to him.
Amen. Amen.
Clearly mentioned in Scripture. To verify that, 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Amen. Hallelujah. We have to give it away. We have to give it away.
Amen.
You know, people pray all the time, oh, God, take this addiction, take this, take this, that. You know, make this happen. No, we have a part in that. We have to own it to disown it. But then we have to disown it.
Yeah.
Amen. So let's pray together. If you're ready to seal these principles in your heart, in your mind, and in your life, and apply them into our lives today, then pray this prayer out loud with me. Father God.
Father God.
Once again, I thank you for your awesome word of truth.
For your awesome word of truth.
Help me understand it in fullness, Lord.
Help me understand it in fullness.
So that I can partake every day.
So that I can partake every day.
Of the divine nature of Jesus.
Of the divine nature of Jesus.
In every part of the Bible.
in every part of the Bible.
On every page of the Bible.
Every page of the Bible.
Continue, Lord God.
Continue, Lord God.
To give me revelation by your Holy Spirit.
Give me revelation by your Holy Spirit.
As to how I can apply your word.
As to how I can apply your word.
Your principles and statutes.
Your principles and statutes.
Into my life today.
Into my life today.
So that I can see the relevance.
So that I can see the relevance.
Of everything you have said.
Of everything you have said.
Thank you that your word is alive.
Thank you that your word is alive.
Just as the widow in this account.
Just as the widow in this account.
Did not fully trust you, Father.
Did not fully trust you, Father.
I admit there have been times.
I admit there have been times.
When I have not fully trusted you.
When I have not fully trusted you.
Forgive me, Lord.
Forgive me, Lord.
Help me dwell in that higher place.
Help me dwell in that higher place.
For you can reveal your higher purpose.
For you can reveal your higher purpose.
For my life and the lives of others.
For my life and the lives of others.
Help me to give over into your care.
Help me to give over into your care.
All the things I've been clutching to myself.
All the things I've been clutching to myself.
Thinking them too dear to let go of.
Thinking them too dear to let go of.
My children.
My children.
My spouse.
My spouse.
Other family members.
Other family members.
Even pets.
Even pets.
And some material things.
And some material things.
That have sentimental value.
That have sentimental value.
Or maybe sports teams I've idolized.
Or maybe sports teams I've idolized.
Or any other person.
Or any other person.
Place or thing.
Place or thing.
Give me the courage to release these things to you.
Give me the courage to release these things to you.
So that you can free me.
So that you can free me.
From the bondages of control.
From the bondages of control.
Idolatry.
Idolatry.
And pride.
And pride.
So that you can free me.
So that you can free me.
From distrust.
From distrust.
Doubt and unbelief.
Doubt and unbelief.
Lord, your word tells me.
Lord, your word tells me.
You will return to me.
You will return to me.
Double for my trouble.
Double for my trouble.
And just as the widow's son was returned to her.
And just as the widow's son was returned to her.
My children will be returned to me.
My children will be returned to me.
And I will have gained a deeper level of trust in you.
I will have gained a deeper level of trust in you.
I break agreement.
I break agreement.
With the need to hold on.
Need to hold on.
I break agreement with spirits of control.
Break agreement. Control.
Idolatry.
Idolatry.
Pride.
Pride.
Distrust.
Distrust.
Doubt.
Doubt.
And unbelief.
Unbelief.
Forgive me, Father, for participating with these things.
Forgive me, Father, for participating with these things.
And free me now.
Free me now.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you were serious about breaking agreement with those things and giving up the things in your life that you think are too dear. You know, God will restore. God will restore. You cannot outgive God. And as I now pray to free you from the spirits behind this need to hold on, there may be some physical manifestations. You may cough or sneeze or cry or yawn. Yawning is a big thing. You may get a little tightness in your chest or a little band around your head. Queasiness might come upon you. It's all right. Those are just spirits that are on their way out, and they're trying to distract you or to put you in fear so they don't have to go. So, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, I take the sword of the Spirit and I sever all generational cords of iniquity, all evil soul ties that have held any of these things we've named in place in your life. I cut through those cords completely. I send back in the Spirit every ungodly thing from the generations and from evil soul ties that attach itself to you. And I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. I reverse the curses and I send them back to hell in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak now to every spirit of control, idolatry, and pride. These people have broken agreement with you and you cannot stay. You come up and out from every cell in their bodies right now. Loose them. I send you to the pit. That burning coals fall on you and you cannot rise again. In the name of Jesus, go. I cast out every spirit and spirit guide, generational and present, of distrust, doubt, and unbelief. You have no place here. God's people have broken agreement with you. You have no legal rights. Come up and out from every cell in their bodies. Loose them. Get up, get out, and go. I send you into the consuming fire of the living God now. Our God is a consuming fire. And I thank you, Father God, that in every place these spirits have left, that you fill us up, Lord. Fill us with your humility. Fill us with a submissive spirit, a gentle spirit that is of great value to you. Fill us, Lord God, with higher faith, with your perfect love that casts out all fear, all doubt, all unbelief. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us now from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet with your perfect love. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I got an approving look from our Hebrew school graduate. Or maybe, I mean, is there a graduation for Hebrew school? Or do you just do it? Who knows? Who knows? Childhood. Right? So if you would like to have a make a comment, or if you have a question, you can now push the *6 keys on your telephone keypad. Next week, unless the Holy Spirit tells me differently, we're going to go to 2 Kings in one of my very favorite books, 2 Kings 5. And you want to read that ahead of time and study it out a little bit. That's fine. If you don't, that's okay. I've done a study for you. Yes.
Hi, Vicki. Oh, no. Go ahead.
No, I was asking for you.
Okay. You cast out three spirits, control, pride, and what was the third one?
Idolatry.
You remember? Idolatry, okay.
Idolatry. And then distrust, doubt, and unbelief.
Yeah, I got that. I got those, but I didn't get the other. Okay. I could hear, Phil, because I took a lot of notes, but it isn't clear. You have to really push hard to listen, to hear. So I just tell you that for your, you know, for whatever,
you
want to do about that.
You could have interrupted, and I would have asked him to be a little louder with his stentorious voice.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. I did take a lot of notes, but it would be hard if you had to go much longer like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty far away today. We're in a different location, and so we're not really equipped like normal. I apologize.
Right, now your voice is very clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just now your voice was very clear. Yeah.
Huh.
Okay, your deliverance ministry, I mean, you're truly anointed. I've had a lot of deliverances in my life, but I'm telling you, when you command them to come out, I have to practically hold on to the chair. It's really, I really appreciate it very much. God bless and have a good evening.
Thank you, God, for the anointing for deliverance. It's a passion. It is a passion of mine. Yes, it is. And thank God that he uses me in that. It's very exciting. And I can actually feel the shift in the spirit. And many times get little glimpses in my heart of the angels in a warfare, chasing them out. It's God is amazing. Let me just say that. Who else has a comment or a question? Hallelujah.
Hi, Vicki and Phil. It was a blessing.
Yes.
As I'm going to. And I agree. I didn't hear Phil. It was, I guess, because he was calling from another line. I'm overhearing. Because it wasn't clear. I heard you very clear. It was like, I usually hear Phil very clearly, except tonight. I didn't hear him too clearly.
Yeah. Again, Friday night, and the Friday meeting is the one that is uploaded to podcasts. So it will be the one on the playback number also. So Friday, you will have a more clear teaching Friday night.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I could definitely, because, you know, you want to listen, you want to understand, so it, but I just wanted to let you know that it was my line, too. It wasn't, you know, sometimes you're not sure if it's your phone or, so. But I just wanted to ask, when you say it is a blessing to have deliverance, and the enemy is delivered, but of course they want to come back. So when the enemy is delivered, when we get deliverance, where did they go? I mean,
well, I'm
send them. I send them into the pit according to the word of the Lord. They're not wandering around in a dry place. When I speak the word, they go to the pit. Now, I do not believe they come back from the pit, but there are many spirits of the same name, just like there are many spirits, there are many persons named John. But in Psalm 140, it says, let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again.
Oh, very good. Because you know what? I was just hearing a pastor. Okay, because I believe that they go into the pit. Because the reason I'm asking, Vicki, because I overheard someone say that.
If they're sent there, they have to go there. You know, a lot of ministers will send them to the feet of Jesus for Jesus to deal with. Do what you want to with them, Lord, whatever. I don't know how that works because I don't see it in the scripture. Jesus said when the spirit leaves a man, he wanders in dry places looking for a way to manifest itself. That's not exactly how the scripture goes, but you'll find it in Luke 11.
But okay, but then they come back. So you're saying when they come back, if they come back with more, you're saying it's another spirit that comes back with more?
If they're sent to the pit, it's not the same spirit that comes back because you can't get there.
Okay, so this is what I was listening to. What I heard, and again, it's not that I believe, I'm just questioning this. Because, you know, we want to be completely delivered from that spirit. We want to know that that's in the pit. So what I overheard is that when Jesus delivered, he didn't send them into the pit, but that he sent them into the pigs. So the time is not, he said, I may be wrong, but he said, there's nowhere in the Bible. So he said, when I do deliverance, I deliver them. But, that you know, there's nowhere he did, I don't know. And again, I'm like, I thought they go to the pit. You know what I'm saying? I guess
there is a place in the Bible that says where to send them, and that's Psalm 140. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Now, I take that as a literal word against the demonic spirit. And that's where, when I do deliverance, that's where I tell them to go. Now, other ministers just cast them out. Some people say, yeah, but, you know, when Jesus was casting the legion out of the Gadarene demoniac, the spirit said, ascend us to the pig. Yeah. In other words, we don't want to go where you would normally send us, so let us go to the pigs. Well, Jesus was a nice Jewish boy. He didn't eat pork. So he said, okay, go. Go to the pigs.
Okay, but there are instances.
There are that to me tells me that you can command them to go wherever you say. A lot of people send them to dry places. I don't do that because people live in dry places. And they got enough trouble. They got enough problems.
Right. I mean, you want to end like you want that spirit to die. Okay, so these spirits, when we drive them out, we can command them to go in the pit, and you're saying when they'll be burned up, from what I'm hearing, And then if other spirits come back,
they can't rise again.
Okay, so once that spirit is delivered,
we can rise again to manifest in you.
So you have authority over
whether they come back or not, Lisa. You know, because now you can recognize that thing and say, no, I've dealt with you. I'm not going to participate.
Okay.
And it cannot come in if you don't agree with it in some way.
Okay, but when I'm going to, just to be clear, if I agree with it again, the same, if I feel like it's almost a similar spirit, then it's another spirit, right?
It's another spirit. And who knows how many there are? I don't. God knows.
Okay. Exactly.
Consider this. When Satan was thrown out of heaven, he took a third of the angels. That means there's twice as many that are for us than are against us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we say, when we ask for deliverance, do the angels assist in that deliverance?
Do they participate in that?
They do. Okay.
Absolutely.
The angels, it's like a war. I didn't know. I was just wondering, where are the angels when all that is happening?
Angels hearken to the voice of the Word of God. So when I cast out a demon and I send it to the pit, I am speaking the Word of God. That means that the angels are going to hurt it there.
Okay. Right.
They're going to chase it right into the pit. Hallelujah. I believe that.
And they're going to chase it if they try and come back, too. I mean, if we're walking with God and we're walking with God, right? They're angels. They're saying, no, uh-uh.
That's right.
It's a beautiful thing. I have to say, it is I need to focus more on the knowing I'm not alone here. I have angels around me, and I don't do that to be aware more of the angels.
Amen.
Speak
God's word. They perform God's word. Speak it. Sorry.
Right.
Hallelujah. Who else has something tonight? Hallelujah. Anybody? Star 6. If not, I am going to ask Pastor Phil to come over, and I cannot take the phone to you because I'll lose my signal. So if you would come over and pray us into this week and give us the benediction, it would be wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. You're so good to us.
Good thing we exercise.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just thank you for your word tonight and every night and every day. We just thank you for who you are in us. Thank you that we are in you. You are in us. And that you have our best interest in your heart. And you want to teach us truth.
help us to grow in you and strengthen our walk with you in every way. And we are thankful that you give us the right to come boldly to the throne of grace and to get mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your understanding, Lord. And thank you for your forgiveness and your love that passes all understanding. We are a thankful people. We thank you that we are your body and you are the head of the body, and we worship you. We bow the knee to you and we give you all the glory and all the honor. And as Aaron blessed the people of Israel, Lord, with your permission, I will bless your people with the Aaronic benediction from Numbers 6 chapter, first in Hebrew and then in English. Hallelujah. Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha Ifunecha, Yisa Adonai, panav elecha, v'yishem lecha, shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you peace, give you shalom. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Shar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And Lord, we thank you for that blessing. We thank you for your goodness in our lives. We just ask you to strengthen us, to be with us, bring your word to our mind and our heart. Keep it in the forefront of our heart, that we can honor you and be used by you to do mighty exploits. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing. I ask you to encamp your angels around your people, bless them abundantly this week as in their comings and going, and protect them from all evil. And I ask these things and I give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, one and all, for joining us tonight. Don't miss next week. Don't miss Friday night. Friday night, we will do our best to have clear lines for both of us. In the name of Jesus. Good night. Love you.